I was going to ask a question to you, but since you guys couldn't get the kids' message one right, I'm not going to ask you this time. But now, one of the first words that a child learns in the English language is mine, mine. You hand them a toy, a blanket, a bottle, whatever it is, and they declare ownership over that item, and they squeeze it tight, and they say, mine. And what's interesting, though, is that they don't understand that it's not technically theirs. It was gifted to them, right? Their parents bought it, their friends, a family member, they gave them this gift. But what's amazing is that if you were to take that thing away from them, what would their reaction be? Hysteria. Tears. Why? It's as if you had taken this thing that they'd worked so many years for, and now it's you take it away, and they scream, mine. Now, all of us, I think, are mature enough to understand that that word that we learn at a very young age as toddlers doesn't go away very easily in our minds. In fact, last week during our growth group, we were talking about this, and many of us had older brothers and sisters, and none of us ever heard the word new in our homes. It was always hand-me-downs. And so we got to, and it was sad for me because I have 5 older sisters, okay? Yeah. So you get hand-me-downs, right? And so technically nothing actually belongs to you because it always belonged to someone else first, okay? And then we all shared stories about how finally we got our jobs, and then the first thing we did is we went out and bought something that was brand new, and we could declare mine. It was all ours, and we were so excited about that. And now, obviously, many of you in this room have had the opportunity to work for many years. Some of you are just getting into the workforce. But so you have things that you would declare that are yours. Now, imagine somebody asks you to borrow something. What is your knee-jerk reaction? Is it to say, yeah, absolutely, I'd love for you to have that. Let's say somebody comes up to you and asks for a donation to give to a worthy cause, but technically it's not going to benefit you at all. It's like giving your money just away. Is your knee-jerk reaction to be open-handed and say, absolutely, I would love to let you borrow this, I'd love to let you have this outright? Or is your knee-jerk reaction to say, mine? Because I would love to stand up here today and say, my normal reaction is to say, absolutely, open hands, use it for whatever you need. But I have a little toddler in my mind that says mine. That when I have the opportunity to bless someone with my money, my first thought is, but it's my money. It's mine. I want to use it for me. If I have the opportunity to bless someone with my property or my possessions, my first thought oftentimes is mine. I want to hold on to it. And I wrote this assuming that I'm not the only one who has the little toddler in his mind. Most of us do, right? Where it's hard to give something away. It's hard to lend and borrow things because we've had experiences where people have broken things. They've misappropriated the funds that we've given them. And so from those bad experiences, we don't want to let go. And sometimes it's not just a bad experience. Sometimes it's just our selfishness. But I'm here today to tell you that there is a louder voice than the toddler voice in your head, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit today talk to us about and remind us that everything that we have isn't technically ours. It belongs to God. And that's why we can learn how to be gracious and grow in the grace of giving. And the story that we're going to focus in on today is the story and life of King David. Now, King David wasn't always a king. In fact, he grew up as a young shepherd boy who had 7 older brothers. I'm sure he had a lot of hand-me-downs. And I assume that he longed for the day that he could technically call something his because he earned it, he worked for it. Well, when he became king and reigned over the land of Israel for 40 years, he had a lot of things that he could call mine. And what's amazing, though, is that at the end of his life, it was on his heart to build a temple for the Lord. He wanted to use his treasures, he wanted to use his wealth to build a temple for the Lord his God. And the reason for that, many of you maybe have thought that there was already a temple at that time, but there wasn't. They were still using the tabernacle. The tabernacle was made out of animal skins. It was this elaborate tent that God had made Moses design and build during the time that they were in the desert for 40 years. So they were still worshiping out of the tabernacle. So he has this desire in his heart to do this, and God says no. I'm not going to let you do that because you were a warrior. You have blood on your hands. You killed many people during your reign. So you've been disqualified from this. But I will allow your son Solomon, who's about to take the throne, to build the temple. And you've probably heard of Solomon's temple, right? So what's amazing is David didn't throw a hissy fit. He didn't throw a temper tantrum and say, well, I wanted to build it. He said, okay. And so he says, I want to help build it. I want to give the materials for it. And today we're going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And in it, it describes how much David gave. And it says that he gave 110 tons of gold. Tons of gold. You know, sometimes we use, man, that's a ton. No, literal tons of gold. He gave 260 tons of refined silver. One commentator guesstimated that this was the estimate of how much this was actually worth is $20 billion, with a B, dollars worth of materials that he donated from his own pocket. That's amazing. I will never see $1 billion in my life. $1 billion. He dedicated $20 billion. And what really stands out to me is this. This wasn't going to benefit him personally. He wasn't even going to see the fruit of his donation. He wasn't going to see the end product of this built temple. He wasn't going to be able to worship there. And today we're going to explore, why is that? Why was this man so generous with everything that he had earned over all those years, willing to give it back to the service of the Lord? And you know, a lot of people, when they're old and gray and they got all this stuff, they want to take it with them. David didn't have that mentality. And we're going to find out from his song of praise here in 1 Chronicles 29 why that was. And my prayer for all of us, for you and me included, is that the reason that motivated him, I pray, is going to motivate us to grow in our grace of giving. Because right then and there, it motivated his leaders, his officials, the people that helped him rule over Israel. Right then and there, these people started giving tons and tons of gold, silver, iron, wood, and precious stones for this elaborate, expensive building. You thought, you know, $20 billion, well, that should have paid for the temple, right? That wasn't even enough. Just incredible how much was going into this. And so David sees the generosity from God's people, and this is what he says. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Some commentators I read this, that at the end of our Lord's Prayer, this is where we get that from. Pretty cool, huh? So he says, to you, the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. So the key to David's open-handedness, his willingness to donate all this, came from this understanding. Read it with me. Everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Maybe I gave you the impression earlier that you and I graduate from toddler stage, but we don't. Even when you start buying things on your own, it's still not yours. It's God's, and he allowed you to buy it, right? We are still dependent on God Almighty, who owns everything in heaven and on earth. And then David says this, read it with me. Wealth and honor come from you. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. So do you have wealth? Do you have a bank account? Do you have a home? Do you have a car? Do you have a position of authority? How did you get there? God. Who allowed David to become king over Israel, this lowly shepherd boy? Who gave him the strength to fight the giant Goliath, to lead all these men out into battle, to stand and rule over these people? God. God gave David the strength to do all that stuff. And who gives you the strength to work those late hours, to stay up past burning the midnight oil? Who gives you the strength to study, to make wise decisions? It's not you. It's God giving it to you. He has gifted you. He has given you that power and strength to do what you're able to do. And then he says this. Read it with me. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. So David is sitting on this throne, and everyone would say, this is David's kingdom. And David would say, this is God's kingdom. Some of you are parents. You are the kings and queens of your homes, right? You have your loyal subjects who aren't always loyal. And yet, who gave you that kingdom? God. God has the ultimate authority. Those children are gifted to you. They're only in your home for a certain amount of time. You don't own them. You may think you do. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. That's not true. But you are called to be stewards of these little ones. And what is a steward? A steward is someone who takes care of something that's given to them. Some of you are owners of your own businesses. Some of you are high up in positions where you have people underneath you. You have direct reports. And maybe you sometimes feel like you have this mini kingdom that you get to rule. It's not your kingdom. It's his kingdom. It's not ours. It's his. And this is all meant to keep us in our zone, to keep us right where we belong. We are not the owners. We are the stewards that God has given us. It's not your kingdom. It's not my kingdom. It's his kingdom. And this week of Thanksgiving, I really want you to think about that and to thank God for that. And to think about the littlest things to the biggest things. You know, I just bought a toothbrush yesterday. Thank God. I have a toothbrush. But think about those little things. Start with the toothbrush in the bathroom to the car in your garage. And make a list and just keep going and going. I think about my house. I have a lot of little people. And I get to thank God for the little drawings on the refrigerator. And the diploma on the wall. Who does that come from? Who gave me the strength? Who gives you the strength? God. But don't just thank him for the stuff. Thank him for who you are. Because so often in our society has conditioned us to believe this, that it says that you are the weight of your gold, right? In the sense of what you make, what you do, your title. That's who you are. But what happens, and I see this all the time, it's happened to me, what happens are those titles are taken away. That money is taken away. Then what? Who am I? Who are you? You're a child of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God made you part of his family. And the most important title that you carry, that I carry, is sons and daughters of the Lord God Most High. That's who you are. And so you get to thank God for what he's given you. You get to thank God for the relationship that he's created for you. That's the most important thing. And that's what David is doing. He's taking an inventory right now. And he's looking over this, and this is what he declares. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. A great way to deal with that toddler in your mind is to say thank you. When was the last time you said thank you to God? With 6 kids in my house right now, some of you pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. And then you keep going, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, right? We can't do that in my house. Kids are throwing fits, they're throwing food, they're like, we need to eat, we're hungry. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for this food, and we get right into it, right? But how often do you say thank you, but don't think about it? You say, well, we said it, now let's go on. There's so often I will ask God, give me, help me, do this for me, and he does it. And then I just walk away. I forget to say thank you. But David looks over his life. He says, I didn't do this. I couldn't have done this on my own. This is God. We thank you. True thanksgiving recognizes that everything you have, everything I have, comes from God Almighty. And it starts in the heart. It always starts in the heart. This is what David says in verse 14. He says, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. I love what he says there. Read it with me. We have given you only what comes from your hand. That is divine understanding right there. That's humility. David felt comfortable donating so much to the work of the Lord Because at the end of the day, God had donated so much to David. God gave it to David, and now David says, I'm going to use this to bless other people. Why should we willingly give to the work of the Lord, even when sometimes it's not going to benefit us personally? Because God willingly gave to you and to me. We're just giving it back so that he can now go bless somebody else with it. And this is important to understand because sometimes we give for all the wrong reasons. Sometimes you might give because you feel like you have to. That the preacher said, I gotta give money, so here I go. Woe is me. God doesn't want that. I don't want that. The scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, he doesn't want the begrudgingly broken heart. He loves the cheerful giver. Sometimes we give not because we want to give glory and honor and praise to our mighty God, but sometimes we want the praise and honor and glory for ourselves. We want the pat on the back. We want our name on the wall. We want our name on the plaque. It says, this person donated this much. See, look how great of a person I am. But who's the only one who's great? God. Everything you and I have to help others, to support the work of the church, to share the gospel, is because God has given us everything from his own hand. When we give, we're giving only what God has given us. We give generously because he has first generously given to us. And here's another reason to give generously. He says this. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand and all that belongs to you. So again, this wasn't about David. This was about the Lord. He reiterates what he just said in verse 14. It all belongs to you. It came from you in the first place. But this is the one I want to focus on. He says, our days on earth are like a shadow. Our days on earth are like a shadow. They are short. They're short. And so the big question is, what are you going to do? How are you going to steward what God has given to you now so that it can be a blessing for those in the future? Have you ever seen this illustration before? It's a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Okay, it's the mentality that some people have that I'm going to take it with me when I die. But you can't. And I love this quote from Denzel Washington, a famous actor. He says, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Now, I've been blessed to make hundreds of millions of dollars in my life. I can't take it with me, and neither can you. It's not how much you have, but what you do with what you have. So you might be thinking, well, Pastor Dan, I don't have to give because I don't have $20 billion like David did. I'm not a Denzel Washington. I don't have hundreds of millions of dollars. Neither do I. But I love what he says at the end there. It's not how much you have, but what do you do with what you have? You're not told to go and spend somebody else's money or give it away or use somebody else's property and bless somebody else. God has called you with what you have, little or much. Whether you're a Macedonian, like we read about in 2 Corinthians, or you're like King David. But the question is, are you going to be tight-fisted and walk around with the mentality of mine? Or are you going to think about what God has gifted you and how he's opened his hands towards you and think about how you can be open-handed to others, to help others, to continue on blessing God's kingdom, growing it here on this earth? You can't take it with you, but you might as well have fun right now giving it away. And that's what David talks about next. Look at this. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. So again, what matters most is not the gift, but what matters most is why you gave the gift. What's in your heart? Have you ever given a donation solely because it benefited you? I've been at these silent auctions before. I came with a bunch of money in my pocket, and the only reason I gave is because they had that really cool whatever. It's like, oh. But if they didn't have the cool whatever, I would have walked out and not given my money. Have you ever given a gift because you knew without a doubt that it was tax deductible? Have you ever not given a gift because you knew it wasn't tax deductible? These are hard issues. And before David gave his $20 billion worth of building materials to build the temple, he checked his heart. And he said, "You test the heart, and you're pleased with integrity, God. All these things I've given willingly and with honest intent. I know I'm not going to benefit from it. I know I don't want the glory for it. I want you to get the glory for it, God." And it was the same for the people that heard about David's generosity, and they said, "We want to be generous too. We want to give to the work of the Lord." And so they gave joyfully. Joyfully, willingly. You know, when we have that mind mentality, when we have the toddler mentality, that little voice, and we're always clenching everything, like, "No, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine." What you do is you lose out on the joy that God wants you to have. Jesus said, he declared, and he lived out in his ministry. He modeled this for us. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And you don't know until you try it. You're like, "That's not true. I love getting gifts." But have you ever tried giving them away? It is an amazing experience that God gives us. But it obviously does not come naturally. And that's why I appreciate this final prayer that David says. He says, "Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you." And then he prays for his son. He says, "And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." So if we're not intentional, our hearts will always default into mine. And so we pray with King David here. I'll put this back up. "So keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep these hearts loyal to you." So what are these thoughts? Let's review. It says, everything in heaven and earth belongs to God. Personally, for me, that is when something breaks down or it goes away or I don't have it anymore, this gives me great comfort. I'm like, okay, it's back to God. I don't need it anymore, I guess. He decided it's not mine. His is the kingdom. This isn't my kingdom. This church, you know, some people will say, "Well, Pastor Dan's church." It's not my church, people. It's God's. It's God's. Wealth, honor, and strength come from God. If you're able to work hard and work many years, it's because of him. Everything we give comes from God's hand. What a humbling thought that when I give, it was God in the first place, right? Our days are like a shadow. We're only going to be here for a while, so we might as well have fun giving it away. And then God deserves our thanks, honor, and praise. It's for him. Today is not about King David and his generosity. It's about God and his generosity. And so pray with me that the Holy Spirit would put these things, embed them on your heart. That, "God, I want to be generous." And notice, I haven't said once, "All right, guys, we have this capital campaign going and we need to build a new building here at church." No, I haven't said that. We probably need one, but I don't know. I'm not asking for that, okay? What am I asking? That you, in your lives, look at the people around you and say, "What can I do to further God's kingdom?" Period. Period. And if you don't want to give an offering today to church, that's okay. But I want you to go home and I want you to pray about these things. And think, how can I bless people that have less than I do? How can I use my resources to help someone else know Jesus Christ? And that's the thing, is that we're not always going to remember this, are we? I don't. I still have that little toddler fighting with the Holy Spirit in my mind. And that's why I'm so thankful for Jesus. Because every time we repent and we confess and we say, "Lord, I have failed. I have been stingy. I have had that mind mentality. I am so sorry." Every single time, Jesus comes to us in this well of forgiveness that is always overflowing. He says, "I forgive you. Today's a new day." And so if you're feeling beat down right now, I'm sorry. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit, okay? You're like, "Man, I should be a better giver. I should be more generous." First and foremost, don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus and think about his generosity and what he has done for you. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you could become rich in your relationship with God, in your relationship with each other, and so that you can bless others with the gifts that God has given to you. And so David ends with this. He says, "Then the Lord said to the whole assembly," so he's preaching, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praise the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bow down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. And so as you and I contemplate using the gifts that God has given to us, thinking about being open-handed, would you please with me praise the Lord? Let's do that right now through prayer. God, we thank you for the examples that we've read about today about the Macedonians and their poverty. They welled up and wanted to give. They wanted to participate in that grace of giving. God, thank you for David, who at the end of his life was open-handed because you were so open-handed to him. And so, God, through these examples, through your example that you laid out for us on the cross and through the empty tomb, we pray, Lord, that you would empower us by your Spirit to be generous, to find joy in giving. And if some of us here have never done that before, help us to take that leap of faith to try it out. Because, Lord, you have said, blessed more are those who give than those who receive. We believe this because we believe in you. In your name we pray. Amen.